Brownie, I'm like a madman this morning, just refreshing Twitter every single 5 seconds because last night...
What was that?
We've got a man that has, let's say, a colourful and decorated past in front of the camera, our man Richo. And last night, Rhett Bartlett, who's a great friend of the show...
If you're around long enough, you're going to have some skeletons in the closet.
If this man wasn't already famous, he would be front and centre at shows like Bachelor.
Yep.
He'd want to go on any celebrity show you get his hands on. He just loves fame. Just wants fame. He's got fame. He wants more. He's just fame hungry, this man over here.
I know about that.
And I think that's why we've diagnosed why you like this on Twitter. You're very, very active on Twitter. But Rhett Bartlett, who... He does seem to have it out for, not out for you, but he's a historian at Richmond. Now, he put out this, continually amazed at the photo shoots that Richo agreed to around 1995 to 1996. Look forward to sharing some new discoveries tomorrow. Are you nervous?
So that's got me a little bit concerned because Rhett, he's got everything. His back catalogue, some of the footage he can get is unbelievable. And I do agree with him. That time there between 95 and 96, I was out with my knee. I had a knee reconstruction. So
it's certainly you've been taking photo shoots.
This is where you thought you'd start your fame run.
Well, I just got a new manager, Ricky Nixon, right, around that time. And Chicken was wanting to promote his players, you know, Club 10 and all of those things that he did. And because I was out with my knee, I had a bit more spare time on my hands and... Yeah, I
just want to ask you a question and I want you to answer it honestly. It's just a yes or no. It's a very simple one. So Rhett Bartlett has just tweeted about 1995, 1996.
Yeah.
Have you asked Rhett Bartlett to find those photos for you?
No, I haven't, Nathan. And I think I know what's coming, to be honest with you.
Really?
Why couldn't you look at me in the eye when you said that? Yeah. Nathan.
Because you're wrong here.
It was a sign of somebody lying.
Here's someone that's wrong. You just said I want to be famous.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, I said if you weren't famous, you've been on these reality TV
shows. I've already
been
asked to go on The Full Monty and I said no. I've already been asked to go on
that's
Dancing
for a good
with
cause.
The Stars and I said no.
There's two reasons for that. One, you can't dance.
And I've also... That is the real reason.
And we know the one we won't get into.
Now, anyway. I've got to ask, just to clear, there's not going to be any real questionable photos. You know, you didn't earn a great living as a footballer back then. There's not going to be any sort of topless photos or anything up of you.
Well, it's the men for off season. But we've seen all that. No, there isn't, huh? But I think I know what is coming, to be honest with you.
Hey, Brownie, how much does your boy, you've only got one boy, three girls, four kids, how much does Jude know about your AFL career?
He knows I played footy and...
Have you shown him any old games? So have you got the old games out?
Surely you've shown him the YouTube. We've
gone to the YouTube clip a couple of times. He knows who Jimmy Clement is. I'll give you that.
Just before you go on, I don't want to muck your story up. This is a man that once sat on a couch in a Hollywood hotel with a laptop and was showing Sam Worthington of Avatar fame his highlights. This is the sort of stuff you do, Nathan.
Now... Every young boy, their dad's their hero, right? Yeah. And I've got three girls, so I'm hoping that one day Jude wants to play footy. If he doesn't, so be it.
Has he got any early signs?
He's got some work to do, but he loves his footy.
He's getting better.
He loves the Tigers and he loves Dusty. And he always asks, he goes, "You were the best footy player, weren't you, Dad?" And I say, yeah, for 10 weeks. I was going okay. And he goes, "What about Dusty? Are you as good as Dusty?" And I sort of pull up there and I go, "Look, Dusty's probably the best of all time." I said, "Nobody's doing what Dusty's done at the moment." He goes, "Do you know Dusty?" "Yeah, I'm mates with I know Dusty." He goes, "So you weren't as good as Dusty?" He goes, "Were you close to Dusty?" I said, very, very close. Very close, Jude. So then the other day, remember Wurtho, the basketballer who used to work here?
Yep.
We're talking about Sam Worthington.
Yeah.
What was his first name?
He worked here, didn't he? You don't even know his name.
Mark
Worthington. Nah, sorry, Wurtho. So I did a charity basketball game.
I worked with him next to it. They shared a desk for 2 years.
That sums him up there, Hummer. In one. We can't say anything. That sums him up.
I did a charity basketball game with Wurtho when he was here. So it was probably about 2.5 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago. And I'd forgotten about it. So it was just one game. And Jude came to me the other day and he goes, "Remember you played in the NBA?" I went, "What, mate?" And he goes, "You played in the NBA. Remember I came and watched you play basketball?"
Yeah.
And I said...
The NBL, you should have said.
"Yeah. Yeah, I did." He goes, "So you played in the NBA?" And I went... "Yeah, I did. Yeah."
You didn't downplay it.
I didn't downplay it. And then he said... Well, because I think the only person he's ever heard of is Michael Jordan. He said, "Were you as good as Michael Jordan?"
Oh,
and I thought, well, Dusty's too close to home. I can't say I'm as good as Dusty. I said...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I reckon I'm as good as Jordan.
Oh, my God.
And so right now he's probably going to school to say that his old man played NBA.
Because kids...
You got the Air Jordans on today, too.
Kids take everything they hear, they take to school as well. So they're going to be going around saying, hey, my dad was as good as Jordan. Hey, we had the big freeze. Unfortunately, it wasn't at the G, but it was magnificent at Channel 7.
Oh, was it the G?
Oh, it wasn't the G without the crowd fans, there. They've
which
now
is disappointing.
Hit $10 million raised for M&D, the big freeze.
It was great again.
Wasn't it just fantastic?
It's just a pity that there wasn't fans there. They still did it really well.
Did a good job.
I thought, who'd you like? Who impressed you the most with their kit? I thought Razor looked good as Elton John.
Razor did look good.
Gil won that by the length, taking the piss out of himself.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Meatloaf
he
was
did.
Fantastic.
And taking the piss out of Meatloaf as well.
Yeah. But he
went
hard
on Meatloaf.
He could have just gone down in any he went down in some RMs. Mate, now, anyone that owns RMs knows if you get them that wet, they're gone. Cactus. Imagine having the coin that you can just dust $700 on RMs for a stunt.
Well, mate, he knows how much pain the loaf caused him that day. They reckon they couldn't get the loaf out because remember it was raining.
Yeah.
And they had to have him up on that little stage instead of out in the middle. 20 minutes before, the meatloaf wasn't coming out. Gillum had it down there begging him to come out. So I can understand why he doesn't like the loaf. The wizard, Jeff Farmer, was good too.
How good, the Wiz, because we played highlights of the Wiz on Sunday morning on the Sunday Footy Show, and you forget... very quickly, how good some of these guys were. Nine goals in the second half. And then he went on a period, I think he kicked 70-odd in a season once. He was as good. But then he played a lot of footy at Fremantle. You don't remember that. You mainly remember him as a Melbourne player. But then there were some highlights at Fremantle. He was an elite player.
After Eddie Betts and Stephen Milne, Jeff Farmer is right there as one of the best small forwards of all time.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember, I think I brought this stat up last time and you said it wasn't actually as good as the public thinks. But sides that win... the week after their coach has been sacked.
Yeah.
Or they know
it's going
to
be sacked. Or it's their farewell game.
And it is higher, but it's not as actually as high as... But
it's not.
How about the Pies on... I mean, I get there's two sides of the conversation. What's happened to Melbourne?
Yeah.
They were awful. And wasn't it good to see the Pies play a different brand of footy that we haven't seen all year?
Isn't it funny how the game's mental? Like, all of a sudden, Nathan Buckley gets... moved on, and it's all about Bucks, and he would have felt calm and go, okay, this is my last game.
Yeah.
And then the players would have thought, you know, we can just go out there and have a crack because it's Bucks' last game. We've got a new coach coming in, and mentally you start to relax, and then that breaks the shackles, and they played a brand of football. There's a lot to be said for clearing players' minds and not overloading them with too much information going into a game.
I guarantee you, in the lead-up to that game, in all of the meetings, without Bucks maybe not even really knowing it, he would have just been more relaxed, more at ease, and it rubs off on the players. And halfway through the third quarter, you just went, geez, this was always going to happen, wasn't it? It just had it all over it.
But what will he do next? He was very good in the media.
Well, I reckon either Fox or Seven will stitch him up for the finals, you'd think. Definitely for the finals. And look, if he wants to do media next year, he'll get a job. If he wants to coach next year, he'll get a job somewhere.
Do you get nervous as someone that works in the industry every time a high-profile coach or player retires when they've got some media credentials?
Well, I must admit, I turned on Sunday night footy at home, obviously the West Coast and Richmond game. I settled back, had a few beers, ready to watch it, and Justin Lepich has popped up. And then I went... Leppers bobbed up. Bucks will be on here next.
Oh, no. Chris Johnson's doing some as well.
Jono's jumped on recently. I'm starting to look around and go, who's going first, me or Jimmy Bartel or Lingy? I reckon one of us is going
soon.
There's
a pretty obvious answer to that out of those three, I would have thought.
I don't silly, Hummer.
Well, I'm just...
You've got to know...
You come up with big calls.
Hummer, when you work in the media...
You've got to be careful.
You know that your day's coming at some point.
I reckon you're going all right, but let's... chat about probably one of the biggest. This could be. Now, for some reason, the tribunal was not Tuesday night. Of course, we're recording on a Wednesday morning. So at the time of recording this, there hasn't been no result. But the way that you feel this might go tonight.
The way it's shaping up.
The game of football will be changed forever. The AFL will not be the same from this week on if David Mackay gets rubbed out tonight.
Well, when the AFL came in and graded it themselves, you felt like the narrative around it changed and you feel like David Mackay is going to get weeks, which I don't think he does. I don't think you think he should.
No, I don't think he should at all. And I'm pretty strong on this week. This is huge, this case tonight, because I think it does change the way that the game's going to be played in the future. The AFL wants players to have a duty of care, even if it's an accidental collision out there. Now, if you look at that slowly and you slow it right down, which I actually did, I wanted to look at it.
Yeah, you did some analysis on Twitter.
And so his body is about 10 centimetres away from McKay. His hands are clearly down. trying to touch the ball. He's turned side on because that's how you're taught to go into a contest. His hands are on the ball. He's clearly not choosing to bump. Here it is here. He is not choosing to bump there. He is going for the ball. We're talking about a thousandth of a second there. How can he have then changed his mind to choose to bump? So it wasn't intentional.
Yep.
Yes, he got Hunter Clark in the jaw. Unfortunately, Hunter Clark has a broken jaw and it's horrible for him. But this is a contact sport. And if that gets rubbed out tonight, that changes AFL footy.
I understand that there's an onus on the AFL. They're shitting bricks
about litigation.
CTE and stuff that's going to happen afterwards. Yeah. They're worried about mums and dads seeing injuries in the AFL and not wanting their kids to participate.
But if that gets rubbed out, if you go up for a mark and accidentally knee someone in the head, isn't there a duty of care there as well?
Correct. I mean, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
If the AFL are fair dinkum and they rub him out here, any time a player runs back with the flight, we should not be giving accolades to Nick Riewoldt for Nick Riewoldt's mark, Jack Riewoldt's mark.
So you're meant to have a duty of care. So Aaron Norton went in from the side a few weeks ago in the Giants game, and he got his own teammate, Tim English. So got him with the knee in the jaw, knocked Tim English out. English missed a week.
He missed about three or four weeks
with concussion. So is that a duty of care?
This is the problem now.
It's so opening a box, isn't
it? So if he gets rubbed out tonight, players now go into games and you're like, what do I do here? Like, do I go hard? If I accidentally get someone, do I get rubbed out? It's going to be horrible for the players.
The thing is, it's a contact sport.
Yeah.
Collisions happen. It's the reason that we watch the footy. We love athletes going at it full tilt. A game where players are all of a sudden you're second guessing the whole time or every time there's a contested ball, slowing down and allowing another player. It's not going to be footy.
No.
And to be paid the money you're paid, you accept a certain amount of risk. No, you don't want what happened to Hunter Clark, but so you assume a certain amount of risk when you play AFL
football.
When
you ran out onto the ground, Nathan, you were aware that there was a chance you could get injured or hurt, isn't
correct.
It?
Every week. So you got to take that. And unfortunately, Hunter Clark's head was going to have to sign away.
To say I'm happy, you know, I'm happy. I understand I could get concussed or injured.
Yeah,
and maybe legally you're going to have to sign.
I don't think
something.
The AFLPA would be allowed.
But at all footy levels, at amateur footy, you understand you're going out there, you're a chance to get injured. It's footy.
Anyway, we'll find
you
out tonight.
You were very, very positive in saying that he shouldn't be.
I am 100% positive that he shouldn't be.
When you used to go to the tribunal, a guy called Ian Finlay was your player advocate.
Fingers Finlay.
Every time you went in, he represented you. So he was the man.
Is he a lawyer?
I think he was some sort of lawyer. Yeah, definitely a lawyer. He was. Yeah.
he
represented you. But I felt like this week it was Richo who was the player advocate, because here's all the tweets. He was very strong on this. So obviously Julian Soup came in, though, suggesting the game will change if David McKay is being a little dramatic, which is obviously
Julian's gone a little bit crazy since joining SEN.
And then Richard obviously responded to Tom Brown, two phones. Collision sport, I feel for Hunter, but this is not something that warrants suspension, changes the game. Okay. So I think he should employ you as the player.
Well, I'd love to go in there tonight and stick up for David McKay, but seriously, Julian just stooped there. He thinks it's been dramatic. I've seen dozens of ex-players on Twitter. Lindsay Gilbey was one. I saw Warren Treadray. Plenty of ex-players feel the same way, that it's going to change the game a bit.
Ooh. So are you inferring that perhaps journalists don't have...
No, I'm just disagreeing with Julian there that it's not being dramatic.
So if David McKay gets rubbed out, everybody's expecting 3 to 4 weeks.
I'm expecting he's going to get cleared.
Okay, well, I think the way everybody's talking and the way the AFL's come out and raided it.
No, you know what's going to happen? The tribunal's going to come back and say they're going to have to rewrite. They may want, if they want to change the rules, then that's fine, right?
Okay, so if
they're going to have
to
rewrite the rules.
If he does get 3 or 4, do Adelaide contest that?
I think they will, because as the rules are written at the moment, he shouldn't be rubbed out tonight.
So how far would you take it? To the Supreme Court?
High Court.
There's been plenty taken to the Supreme Court.
Well, I just think if he gets rubbed out tonight, the rules need to be changed immediately for next week, because you can't have players being suspended when he didn't choose to bump.
Maybe
he was contesting
you wouldn't for a club that's, you know, outside the eight, probably don't play finals this year. But if this was a final and this team could possibly play grand final, you'd have to take it as far as you could.
You probably would, yeah.
I will stop watching footy if he gets rubbed out.
Really?
I think you'll watch footy again, mate.
Now, I've had it. I've been so angry this week. Footy's been my life ever since I was a little kid. And if this goes the way that I think it's going to be, I don't want any part in the game.
Is that right?
Yep.
Are you going to retire?
No, I'll keep playing.
Oh, you're still going to play?
I'll keep playing footy. Well, because the AFL doesn't get its fingers into the local leagues. But in terms of watching, I don't want to watch a product where I've got blokes dancing around and not going as hard. The reason you watch footy is the athleticism.
Well, you're going to second guess yourself if he gets rubbed out tonight.
Yep.
Simple.
I find rugby league a good product. Now, I know that they're making changes as well and they're going through a similar sort of procedure.
Let me just get this straight. If a player chooses to bump and get someone in the head, then he should be rubbed out.
Absolutely.
David McKay did not choose to bump. He was contesting the ball.
Well said, Matthew.
Sunday night footy was back and it rated through the roof. It was a good game over.
It was a public holiday, which was a good game.
I think people need to understand because the AFL has tried Sunday night. And it's not like we do have Sunday night. We have that 6:30 slot. So I'm not really sure about the fanfare of bring Sunday night footy back. This is fantastic. The only reason it was so successful was because it was a public holiday.
And
it's a slightly different time slot.
It was on free to air too. Normally that Sunday
that's
on
true.
Fox.
7:20 or 7:50 games, a lot different to a 6:30 game. So everybody's normally had dinner. Maybe the kids have already gone to bed or in their pajamas. Everyone sits on the couch together, a 7:30 game. So it's a little bit different. It's a real feature.
Would you do it every week, mate?
Well, the thing I don't like is how there's games overlapping at the moment. So there's two games on a Saturday night. I think in a billion-dollar industry and how many broadcasters we have, I don't think there should be any games overlapping.
They shouldn't overlap.
To not overlap, though, that means you have to have one Thursday night, Friday night, and then three on a Saturday, three on a Sunday, and probably one on a Monday night. They've tried Monday night footy.
Sucks.
But it possibly hasn't worked all the time. So
Did you say Saturday arvo then?
Yeah, so three on a Saturday. So an early game Saturday, twilight, and then a night game. The same on a Sunday. Yeah. But then that only gets you eight games, Thursday night.
So do you do...
Like the NRL, I'm not sure how it works, but the NRL do a double header on a Friday night. But they don't overlap either. So,
and they've got the access of New Zealand. That helps a lot of the time, that New Zealand game.
I'd love to see some more Sunday night games. That was fun. I worked Sunday arvo, drove home, got some takeaway, watched it. It was good. No, it was a great game, let's be honest. A really good game.
But if they put the Giants up against North Melbourne, like the game earlier on in the day, then nobody watches
it. Well, it's almost got to be like a marquee time slot, like a Friday night, isn't it?
Well, the only way it can work is if you've got two marquee sites with big followers, because the reality is you're probably not taking your kids to a Sunday night game that's ending at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Perth, they're nuts. They love footy.
Yeah.
They've got a massive supporter base.
And it was on in Melbourne here, obviously, at 7:20, but that's...
That's the issue.
Is Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and if you had Monday night, is that too much football for the weekend?
I don't like Monday night. You need a clear day Monday.
Well, I'm in bed by 8:30.
Yeah. I don't like Monday night.
I can't watch Monday or Sunday.
I reckon you need just to clear your head Monday before you get back into the footy week, I reckon.
Hey, Geelong, very quickly.
Bed at 8:30.
Yeah, I like going to bed early. I'm up at 4:35.
Of whiskey.
You get up at 4:30 and have a whiskey, do you?
Yep, and I go for a trot every morning. Went for a trot this morning.
I don't believe that. He has a shot every morning.
I don't believe he gets up at 4:30 every morning.
And I don't believe he runs every morning.
I'll show you my Strava.
Three lies all in one there.
That might happen once
for the week.
Well, we're talking about the three-headed monster here in Cameron, Rowan and Hawkins. That's a three-headed
monster. Excuse me. Go look at my Strava knob. I run most mornings.
Okay, now the cracks appear.
I've got some plantar fasciitis problems. Oh. Right.
And so the shot of whiskey every morning?
Every morning. Yep. Okay, like you guys have your coffee to wake you up, I have a shot of whiskey. It's no different. One, they both lift your standards.
I think that's an absolute lie. I'm going to ask your girlfriend.
Ask her. The Cats, are they the team to beat now?
I think so.
You got Melbourne sliding, as Melbourne do. Now, this is very typical of Melbourne.
They've lost two games. Let's talk about it.
Melbourne cannot win the flag.
They beat Brisbane the week before.
That's not the question. Are the Geelong premiership favourites now?
Well, with us, the bookies, they're not. They're still about fifth favourite, I think. Look, I still don't want to play the Tigers come September if I'm with another side. But they got beaten the other night. Geelong, I think right now, there's four teams that could win it quite easily. My favourite is Brisbane. I still think that Brisbane can win it. I think the Bulldogs can win it. Melbourne, obviously Richmond. So I think there's five teams that can win. I don't think Port Adelaide can win the grand final. Yeah. They've lost to too many sides above them. Yeah. So I think there are four sides that can win it.
Yeah, I think as we speak now and after watching Thursday night, I really am liking the Cats. I don't see any weak links in how they're going about it at the moment.
Melbourne at $5 head the market, Brisbane at $5.50, Geelong $5.50, Western Bulldogs $5.50, and Geelong $6 are your chances.
West Coast went from 21 to 15 after that win too.
I wouldn't waste your cash there. What about underrated players, Brandon? Because this is something you're quite hot on. So much so that we've had our very first suggestion this season in the WhatsApp group.
Well, we've got a couple of little top fives here for Brownie. You want the five most underrated players? I was watching the Port Adelaide game against Geelong.
Underrated players.
I reckon Carl Amon's underrated. So I just thought I'd challenge Brownie because he loves his top five.
Does.
Give us your top five underrated players in the AFL.
Okay, underrated. I think an underrated isn't players who don't get accolades or anything like that. I think it's underrated players that I think have a real influence on the outcome of games. Yeah. So the first one, and you've spoken about him a fair bit, is Tom Liberatore. Obviously, they've got superstars there in Norton, Bontempelli and these guys, but Liberatore, when they win, he's underrated or he's a barometer, but Tom Liberatore, for me, he extracts the ball and makes that side better.
Yeah.
Dom Sheed. Now, this is a guy remembered for a kick after or just before the siren in a grand final, but everybody talks about Andrew Gaff. Everyone talks about Elliot Yeo, Luke Shuey. Nick Natanui. They've got superstars. I think Brayshaw said on the weekend there's so many superstars in this West Coast side.
Yeah.
This guy goes under the guard but gets 30 regularly, kicks goals regularly, and at the right moment impacts games.
And he's held them together this year with all the injuries they've had.
A new one on the scene, I think. Ooh. Benny Keys at Adelaide.
Yes.
Underrated, starting to get some notoriety at the moment. But
Five games in a row he's had 30.
Yeah, so at the start of the year he was getting a fair bit of the footy and everyone thought, Benny Keys had a good couple of weeks, he'll drop off. Yeah. But he hasn't dropped off and he continues to get the footy. And through confidence, he butchered the ball last year, maybe early parts of this year, but I think he's using the ball better and he's kicking goals. Benny Keys. Jack Crisp at Collingwood had another good game on the weekend. So we talk about Sidebottom, we talk about Pendlebury, talk about DeGowie. There's not a lot spoken about Jack Crisp and how consistent he is and how often he gets on the park.
He doesn't miss.
No.
What's 130 games in a row now?
And the last one is at the Tigers. And I think when he plays, Kane Lambert, they're a better side. Mm.
He was good too, wasn't he? Straight. He had 20 at halftime Sunday night.
So they're my top five underrated players.
I like it.
You got anyone to add?
Well, Carl Amon. I think he's underrated.
Hey, last week we brought back a favourite segment and it's back again this week. Who will win? Now, last week, two of these questions pertain to one that I had last week because I was actually troubled by the answer. I said, could you beat 18 Richos against 150 10-year-olds? And we said that you would win very, very easily. 18 Richos now against the under-18 Vic Metro side.
18 of me now?
Yep.
No, they'd run rings around me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to run. I wouldn't be able to... Nah, I wouldn't win.
All right, what about the under-16 Vic Metro side?
I reckon I could still take a few marks. What do you think? Probably the under-14s would be more likely than the under-16s.
I reckon it'd be a good game, the under-16s.
I reckon I'd have a bit of physics. If you put it up high in the goal square, I reckon I'd still be able to...
Remember when Spud wanted you to be the bear in the square? He came in and you said, I need you to put weight on, Richo.
I did.
I need you to put 10 kilos on. I don't want you to move out of the goal square. We're going to kick it long to you. You're going to be the bear in the square. You're going to kick 100 goals. We won four games.
Yeah.
Bear went into hibernation.
I was 108 kilos, Hummer.
You should have seen him.
I couldn't move.
Big boy.
I couldn't move.
And you think at that stage,
a bear in the square
when you're 108 kilos, you'd be able to drink, but three carton drafts in, and he was already
upside down.
And then I did doing that one again. And then I started snapping hammies because I had that much weight on. My hammies couldn't handle it.
Was it like good? Did you enjoy putting the weight on?
No, it was fun. I didn't train. All I did was bench press and eat.
It's like sometimes when he's had a couple of carton drafts, two or three, and you can tell the point where he's obviously gone, and then he's taking his head off.
There we go.
He's turned it around.
Why did he do this?
Put it back on upside down.
This is a man, Hummer, that is the lightest weight drinker I've ever met in my life, and he's trying to call me one.
You should have seen when Brownie had a few wines and had to MC one of the lunches a few years ago. Oh, my God. Hey,
did a good job.
18. This one, I was at a pub. It's actually a bar, actually. Very good bar. East of anything in Campbell. If you're in the area, make sure you pop in there. Hopefully, I'll get a few free drinks next time I pop in. And was having the discussion with some mates and some guys in the pub. They said, we want you to ask Richo and Brownie this. I'll ask this question first and I'll ask the question they want me to ask. 18 Jack Rewalts versus 18 Nick Rewalts.
I'm going 18 Nick Rewalts.
Yeah, I think I think Nick is a better runner.
Yep.
He'd run Jack off his feet. As far as footy IQ and smarts, I'd back Jack. Jack's probably kicked more goals, but I just think the game of attrition, I think Rewalt Nick would outrun Jack.
I think they've both got very good footy IQs. Yeah. I think Jack's got the better skills left and right through the midfield, but I agree,
Nick's
running capacity.
And Jack's,
I think Nick would get him.
Jack is a really good mark, but I think Nick just is a little bit better contested mark, and he just works a bit harder. So, that's a tough one, though.
Well, another question that came up at East of Anything on Burke Road, Campbell. If...
What, are you getting a free feed there or something?
Free Palmer.
If you were drafting for Richmond right now and you have a crystal ball that you could see what their careers would be, Jack's exact career, Nick's exact career, who would have you drafted?
Nick.
Yeah, look, Nick was 6-time All-Australian. I think he won 6 best and fairest as well. So Jack's a good player, but you're comparing two very elite players here.
All right, this 18 brownies, because last time we said against the 10-year-olds, you'd have been too big. Brownies are a little bit smaller.
Is this me now or is this me 2005?
This is you now against 300 12-year-olds.
You wouldn't fit them on the ground, mate.
Yeah, well, they just say you do.
You see when 282 of them they fit on easily.
The stupid
part about this is the height becomes the major issue. You could just keep it in the air. They'd never get you.
No, but the thing is, though... I know that if you're running and they're tackling you, you take a bounce, that's holding the ball.
No, but he wouldn't be tackled. You'd be just marking it. Yeah, no.
Wait, 12-year-old, there's 300 of them.
The height would still get them because you just got to keep it in the air.
I reckon beating 300 kids would be tough.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Hum, you can only get 4 in the square for the ball up.
Yeah.
So you've got 4 on 4. So until those other 300 get in... They're in some Barney rubble.
And then you've just got to put it up and you'd mark it inside 50.
Well, I disagree. I reckon the 312-year-olds will get you. Hey, last week we launched...
Why don't we get the 282 kids that went out in the
field? Well, they'd be a bit older. They'd be a bit older now.
I've actually met one of those 282 kids the other
good
day.
Good on you, mate. And you're just right. One of them,
he's an 18-year-old. He came up and showed me.
Four of them.
He came up and showed me a photo and he was one of the kids out on the ground that night. He was
wrapped
with it.
They should do it. Remember that?
That's what it was all about. The kids loved it.
Do you remember that? Oh, Jesus. I just love that you have a stance against anyone getting carried off for anything but 300 games. You're happy to have 282 kids give up their Saturdays to follow you around the Jeep. Brownie, you got another top 5 for us.
I do.
If you're going to sit here, why do you have to unlock your iPad each time? Leave it unlocked.
I don't know.
This is again, off the Port Adelaide game. How good a name is Miles Bergman, right? Every time I hear his name, I think he should be on a billboard in a Hollywood movie.
Yes.
It's like Errol Flynn, Miles Bergman, starring. Yeah. That,
a good name, Miles.
It's a good
Although
name.
The only Miles I know was a complete dick.
Was he?
Yeah.
I know a few good Miles.
What was his last name? Say good day to him, Hum.
What was his last name?
I can't remember his surname. I'm sure he's not listening.
What about the throw that Hum gave for the top 5 and then you've had to actually pick it up and explain what it was?
Well, that's
a host job,
I didn't
mate.
Know what it was.
You're not looking at your rundown. So no, give us your top 5, mate.
I'd skipped it.
So on the back of that, these are the great names. Now, you can't have a great name list without Steel Sidebottom. In 2010, he won the best sporting name in the world, Steel Sidebottom.
That was in America, wasn't it? A competition.
Yeah, the Yanks went sick for it.
So,
it's a very American name.
It is.
It's Steel.
Whether you love him or hate him, and I love this guy, but... Dangerfield's a good name.
It is a
good
name.
If your nickname's Danger, you can't go wrong there. What? You're one of the best players in the competition.
He doesn't deserve
it. You've won a Brownlow. Danger. That's a really good name.
It is.
Paddy Dangerfield,
Bobby Hill. Bobby Hill
good.
Sounds like he's a Hollywood character or a
NASCAR driver, I reckon, Bobby Hill.
NASCAR driver.
Bobby's very...
I like that.
Or he could be Robert Hill, assistant commissioner.
Bobby's better.
Assistant police just Bobby Hill, mate.
Yeah, but there is a Bob Hill who's an assistant police.
Can't go past Joel Garner. Only because he was a great West Indian fast bowler, Joel Garner. And when you think of Joel Garner, when you hear the name Joel Garner, you immediately think of the big fast bowler.
The other week I was watching a Port game when Joel Garner played. I don't think he's played the last few years. But when the commentator, I think whoever I was commentating with that night, Hamish said Joel Garner. I actually, for a minute, thought he'd stuffed it up. I thought, why have you said Joel Garner? Then I realised there is a Joel Garner.
At the Tigers, Hugo Ralph Smith.
Yeah, good.
Sounds like he's a model in a Ralph Lauren polo.
What's that American, real American
Ralph.
Brand?
Yeah.
The
Tommy Hilfiger.
Tommy Hilfiger.
He
is. It's a Tommy
this
Hilfiger
is a Tommy Hilfiger
model.
Shirt now.
Yeah, you don't look like Hugo Rouse.
You don't. Jermaine Jones for the West Coast Eagles. Yep. That's a good name.
And anything with the letter for the start for your surname.
Yeah, they call that alliteration.
So you could throw Hamish Hartlett in there for that one. Yeah. And then I think the best name of all time, and for used to play for Port Adelaide, Donald Dickey. I reckon that's a great name.
Donald Dickey. Yeah. That is a great name. Hey, last week we announced that we're going to build up, because we've got the long sleeve team of the century and they need an opponent. So we're building the redhead team of the century. This is how it works. Each week we will debate. We're going to ask for some suggestions online as well on our social media platform. But we're going to build from the back line up to the forward line and the interchange bench.
I've got my back six and you guys can fiddle around with it if you want.
Yeah.
But this is my...
It was only meant to be a back three, but let's.
Oh, back, just want to do the.
No, let's do the six. Well, it dragged on a little bit last time.
So I liked yours.
Do you? I reckon this.
That means you haven't done any.
So do you want? No, he did. Oh, he sent them through last time.
Well,
so
no,
do you want
identical.
Me to do the whole back six?
Yeah, do the whole back six.
All right. Well, this guy that played down at Geelong, I played on him a lot, and he was a very good defender. And his nickname was Bluey. Oh. If you got red hair and your nickname's Bluey, you're a real redhead.
That's a real redhead.
And that's Timmy McGrath, probably the. One of the best fullbacks in the history of the game, played for the Essendon Footy Club, Dustin Fletcher. He's a lock.
He's in both sides. How about that?
He's in the long sleeve, I thought I had to throw in a current-day player. You know, we can't just always go back to past. So I've thrown in Nick Floston from Richmond, who played really well the other night.
He's more of a strawberry blonde.
He's still red hair.
Angry pills the other night too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, It was his best game for the year.
Well, fiery redheads. They're very angry redheads. They're angry at the world.
Bluey McKenna, another Bluey.
Find me a mild-tempered redhead.
That's a good question.
Yeah. You can't. They do
Bluey McKenna,
exist.
Guy McKenna, another Bluey. He's got to be in.
Bluey's not fiery red, though, is he?
But he's still
red. He's not a Cameron Ling type red.
No. The man who's trying to steal one of our jobs at Channel 7 on Sunday night, Justin Lepich.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He's at centre-half back, three premierships with Brisbane. And do you know a player that got All-Australian in his first year of playing? I think he's the only one that has ever been All-Australian. He's first. Ben Hart was All-Australian as an 18-year-old. He's on the other half back flank.
We're going to field that out last week and send your suggestions through. Now, before we just kick on to the show, we need to go to our favourite league. And it's getting to a stage where I honestly think we need to go down here. So we're going down to the North West
Football Association.
Football Association. And let's have a look at the scores there. Now, East Ulverston, who they're much maligned, they haven't won many games. They took on the poor foes at Rosebery Toorak. Imagine this for the Easts. 41-24, 270. Now, this is a side that before this game had a percentage of 30. They've kicked 41 goals.
So how many games did East Ulverston won going into this?
Three.
So they
played. That's two against Rosebery Toorak and one against Tanners Beach.
Look at Burton there.
6.
That's a big bag. That's
18.
That's Fred Fanning style.
18 goals.
Poor old Murak for Rosebery Toorak kicked their only goal. I haven't even seen him kick a goal yet this year.
It's good getting the best.
He's leading the goal kicking there this year with one goal.
So their percentage last week was something ridiculous, like 6.7 or something, wasn't it, Rosebery Toorak?
No, it was 0.58. This is the incredible part. Their percentage went
increased.
Their percentage has gone up after that. So East Ulverston, but how about this? Now, this was West Ulverston against Turners Beach, and this was the Battle of the Cellar Dwellers. Going down to Tassie. You pay your $10 entry. You go down to, and this is a seniors game, not a reserves. West Ulverston, 1-4-10 to Turners Beach, 1-9-15. You know what?
Didn't this Ford guy kick something like 18 or 12 the other week, and he couldn't get first best.
Yeah.
Yet he doesn't kick one goal in this game, and he's best.
What the hell is going on?
You know what? That just reeks of an arm wrestle to me, that game. You would call an arm wrestle.
1-4-1-9 in perfect conditions.
It couldn't have been perfect.
So we are going to get down there. We'll just have a look at the ladder here. Fourth, which is their percentage, is still 782. Mottet Preston, 575. Wesley Vale, 206. Sheffield, 321. Then the drop starts. You've got Sprayton, East Ulverston, 61-45. West Ulverston, 61. And poor old Rosebery Toorak still battling to crack a percentage.
That just one thing about Forth. If you ever, the Forth footy ground is about 100 metres from the Forth pub. We should go down there.
We should do it. Let's.
Because the Forth pub, they
let's
have.
Let's do it next year in April when it's just a bit warmer.
The Forth pub, they have some really good gigs
there. I'll go down. I will go down there and document it, I think.
All right.
Go down to Tassie, get on a little Rexy and
do a little sporty down there and then go to the fourth pub afterwards.
Brownie, just before we see what's grinding Richo's gears, this popped up. I'm not entirely sure how it popped up, but let's just have a watch.
That's Nate in the Bendigo
gear. No problems for him in front of goals, but he had this to say about the Doggies' goal-kicking woes during the week.
We're not lying to ourselves. We know that we cost ourselves four games just purely from missing goals. I mean, if we kick those goals, we've won four extra games and we're five wins and two losses. I mean, we're playing good footy. If we were losing by 10 goals, 12 goals, you'd be thinking, geez, what are we going to do? And there'd probably be infighting and a bit of bitterness down at the club. But there's none of that because we're playing good footy and everyone's still thinking, gee, we can do this. We're still a good team.
Nathan Brown there, complete with
I'll tell you what, like, you guys had to go at my voice. Remember you had to go at my voice?
What is with your voice? My God!
What was wrong with your voice?
I don't know, Matt.
For those that are listening and didn't see the vision, it was probably, what, mid-90s or late 90s?
2002.
2002 interview with Brownie. He's got a giant cold sore on his face. He's wearing a tea cosy. You got these long blocks.
It was a big cold sore. I used to get some big
ones. Jeez, you were run down, weren't you?
He's a bit tired that
week. You
know
what it was, Hum? He was that stressed about their goal kicking that he got a cold sore.
But your voice, Brownie, it's entirely different.
Yeah, it's a lot deeper these days, isn't it, Hum, when I call.
Do you get tired putting on this facade of the voice? Like, do you get home and just when you just get home and just go, ah, I can relax, and you go back to your like a Bendigo voice?
Sure, you're not from Tassie. You've been hanging on me about being from Tassie.
Let's just talk about that game, 2002. So I've got the stats up here when we played the Sydney Swans in 2002. Nathan Brown, 25 kicks, 9 marks, only 3 handballs.
Yeah, good.
So 28. And 5 goals too.
That's a great game, Brownie, but that doesn't explain your voice.
Jeez, you've done well to play that well, given how run down you must have been.
How run down was he?
I reckon Jason Saddington went past me that day, so he was playing for Sydney, and gave it to me about my cold sore.
No one wanted to tackle you. That's why you got kicked 5 goals.
It was like COVID before COVID was here.
I'll tell you what, if you had a cold sore like that now, they wouldn't let you play. They'd send you off for a COVID test.
Have a look at it. It's like that real bright red.
You didn't have a defender
near you. I've
had a crack at the lip gloss too.
You know what else he's done here? He's deliberately been fluffing the hair out of the side of
the little tea cosy as well. That is magnificent.
That is
the
great
voice.
Vision.
Like, your voice can't change. So that means you're putting this voice on and
you get home
to the dial and just go, oh, thank God, I can talk in my squeaky
Whatever happens
voice.
For the rest of the day, I'm up now for the rest of the day.
All right, Richo, what's getting you mad?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
It's hard to be mad after seeing that vision of Nathan. That is unbelievable. You still run down now?
I don't get him anymore.
It took him 8 years to get over it.
Anyway, I'll tell you what. One thing that's doing my head in, if you had to watch the footy over the weekend, there was one thing that was clear to me over the weekend, that there was a rule of the week again. Now, what other sport or sporting code in the world would change rules or interpretations of the rules from week to week?
None.
Do you think at the Euros at the moment, the soccer, you know, the Euro 2020, which has been played in 2021, do you think that from this weekend's games to next weekend's games, they'll change the interpretation?
They allow you to pick up the ball and kick it.
No, they'll change the interpretation of something. Do you think in the NBA finals that are being played at the moment, between games 6 and game 7 in a big semi-final,
absolutely not.
Are they going to change the rules? Well, the AFL changed the interpretation on the weekend. The sling tackle clearly had a different interpretation, particularly Sunday night. The Marlon Pickett one was outrageous.
Yep.
And there was a couple on Queen's Birthday, Collingwood in Melbourne. How are these players meant to go out there and play? You don't know what you're going to get from week to week. Do you agree there was a change there?
It's confusing, yes. I agree with you.
Does my head in.
Does your head in.
It's remarkable. So they must sit there with the umpires and just say, hey, this is what we're targeting this week.
How confused players are going to be if David Mackay gets rubbed out tonight, when you're going for a contest,
exactly,
a player's going to start to pull out and shirk the issue, and then you get questioned about, okay, you didn't go hard enough
there.
You know, it's okay because we make these decisions now. So you've always been taught to go. So I feel sorry for the umpires too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the umpires would have had
a
direction.
They're only doing what they're told to do.
This week, we're going to clamp down on that.
Yeah.
And the umpires, unfortunately, they're the ones that get booed. They're the ones that get highlighted. They're the ones that get, ridiculed online as
trolled
well.
Trolled online. Yeah. You know what? You know when you change a rule, and I don't want to see any rules change because I'm sick of rules changing, but you have to do it at the end of the season.
Mm.
You let all of the clubs know. You send out examples of what
we're going to accept. The DVD, they used to say. The clubs had the DVDs.
You can't do it between rounds 12 and 13.
But Stephen Hocking on Triple M Footy on Saturday said that he was happy with the way that the holding the ball rule had been adjudicated. I think not even 99%, 100% of football fans are out there saying, I've got no idea about the holding the ball rule.
Exactly.
Fix it. Hey, Richo, I think you might be in some trouble again with the nothing job.
Now?
Oh, yes. What are you...
I thought you already did these.
No. That was serious ones. That was when you were the play advocate.
Oh, you didn't mind those ones?
No, they were okay.
All right.
Yeah, it was just the fact that, you know, you're prolific. Like, you just got this insatiable appetite.
Will you ever give Twitter up?
I think I've had enough, yeah. I'll admit it.
Twitter is a cesspool.
You're too old for it, mate. I would have thought that... There's so many people around our age that
don't even
have Twitter.
But don't you talk about content,
but you have conversations online. Like,
what if I do? Yeah, I can't.
You actually have conversations with people. Like, you could probably just text them.
You've heard of engaging with the audience, Nathan. That's engaging with your fans.
But most of the people you engage with are also prolific tweeters and they've got a name. So you don't often just, you know.
Well, get it up. Get it out of the way.
You don't often just talk to the common
people. Yes, I do.
So here's Wayne Ludby. He was a great person. Baruch Assault Caesar. This is a great, great song. I agree with that. But he didn't share it just for you. Thanks for sharing. It's like you just shared it just for Matthew Richards. That's a tune, mate. Thanks for sharing. Now, it's just some Joe Bro
with eight
followers had a tweeted that from East Ulverston and
he said the same thing.
And put at Richo. You wouldn't have said a damn thing.
You know what I did.
But because he's got a tick and because he's got some followers, you thought, oh, get my followers and his followers together and I'll get more followers.
No, I clicked on the link and that is a great live version. You have a look after this. And I'll see
the band that... paired with Evanescence at one
stage. See, this is not the band, you idiots. Veruca Salt. Oh.
You just stuffed us in, didn't you?
You're the Nuffy, not me.
That is a Nuffy.
See that? It's
there
a song
called
name, you idiot.
I don't know.
Look at it. It's a good version.
I just worry about you, Matthew.
I probably shouldn't have said.
Then there was this one. This is your average sort of person. What's the point of having the umpires mic'd up if Matt Richo and Luke Darcy, who obviously doesn't have Twitter because he's around our age and knows that he shouldn't be doing it, won't shut up? And then Matthew Richardson, this is like to show that you're a good bloke. You can just interact with the common folk. Just the thumbs up, hey? There he is, Mr. Nice Guy.
Richo's got a... hates it when people give him a clip and tag him.
I just don't get that. Why do you tag people in when you're clipping them like that?
All right, let's give some awards out.
I've unfollowed myself.
Oh, Richo, it's going to be a sad place on Twitter and we're going to have to find some more content for the Nuffy jar.
Hey,
Richo Brownie, Hummer of the Award of the Week. Time, this is how it works. Three votes to Richo for the goods, three votes to Hummer for the
good
bads.
Good throw again, huh? I'm going to go one vote in the best ons this week, the Jeremy Cameron. 5 goals. I thought he was the difference between that game. How quick is he? He is lightning quick. So one vote to Jeremy Cameron. 2 votes to Josh Kennedy to do that at the end of the game. A huge shot.
Mm.
Big player, big game player, big moment. Won the game, 2 to Josh Kennedy, and 3 to Bucks. Not only did they get the result, but Nathan Buckley, the way he handled the whole week, just shows you how good of a person he is, and he just did it with a touch of class, Matthew.
Bucks has got Twitter.
He has. He's not as prolific as you, though.
But he has got it, so there you go. I gave one to CJ Jath. He is just on fire.
Superstar.
You're a Hawks man, How good was he?
Yeah, he'll be an All-Australian soon.
I gave him 3 votes.
Hey?
On the weekend.
Yeah, he was good. 1 to CJ. I just love exciting players to take the game on. 2 to Jeremy Cameron, all the reasons you mentioned, Nathan. He could be the difference between Geelong finally getting this flag that Chris Scott wants. And 3 to Nathan Buckley. Clearly, no one else could get 3 votes this week. His whole week just showed you how good a person Nathan Buckley is. How he handled that was brilliant.
Okay, the bad ones, Hump. I gave 1 vote to Dougal Howard, and I thought the bit of play where Riley Thilthorpe kicked the goal over his head was pretty much the way St Kilda are at the moment. So Thilthorpe, you would have seen, kicked it from about 10 metres out back over his head. Dougal Howard was 8 metres out from goal, so probably 2 metres behind him. By the time the ball got to the goal line, Dougal Howard was still standing 8 metres out from goal. Thilthorpe was trying to shepherd it through on the line. So I looked at that and I thought, that's where St Kilda are at the moment. I'm a big Dougal Howard fan. He was brilliant. He had 23 touches or something like that. 1 vote, two votes to the umpires who gave the free kick against Dougal Howard 2 minutes before that on the goal line. How that was a free kick, I've got no idea.
So is that who are you giving the votes
to? The umpiring department.
Just the umpiring department.
And three votes to Sydney. Sydney played against Hawthorn. They played a home game. Opportunity, if they'd have won that game, they are sitting fourth on the ladder at the moment. They've got five very hard games coming up. Not only have they given top four opportunities up, but it brings into question whether they actually make the finals. They've still got two games clear at the moment, but it's going to make it hard because they've got a really hard run. And I only see them probably winning one, a maximum two games of the next five.
Yeah, it was a big loss, that's for sure, for the Swannies. I gave one to Steve Hocking because clearly somebody is instructing the umpires to change the interpretations, okay? They're only doing what they're told to do and someone has to be telling them, and Steve Hocking's the head of the footy department.
He's a scary bastard.
Christo getting saved.
Like, he's a scary man. Billy reckons there's only one player when he played with down at Geelong that scared him, it was Steve Hocking.
So I should be worried.
Well, he lives in Williamstown around here. Me and I see him sometimes. I get scared because Billy's talking about when I walk past him. And
you chat to him?
I say, g'day, Steve. One day I forgot his name. I just had a complete blank and I said, g'day, mate.
Oh, you didn't. If I saw Steve now, he'd talk about those decisions and he's good. He gets on and he talks about it. He went on Triple M on the weekend. But I just don't like the interpretations changing, and he's the head of the footy department. Two to GWS. Their third quarter down in Hobart against North, for their midfield to have no clearances between Ward and Hopper and Taranto, they just switched off. Finals were on the line for them. Yeah. If they win that game, they're only a game out of the eight against North Melbourne, who've won one game for the year. At three-quarter time, they got a rocket and they came out and kicked six goals in the last quarter. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the job done, ended up in a draw. That might cost them. You just never know moving forward. They're a lot better than that. Their third quarter was poor. And I've given three to St Kilda. They're fighting for finals as well. They played finals last year. They're 36 points up, 10 minutes into the third quarter on a wet deck. You just can't lose that game. And I think for me, what summed it up was one of St Kilda's most well-known and passionate supporters, Brucey Eva, who I work with at 3RW.
Beaver.
No one is more passionate about the Saints. And when Beaver's had enough, and I think this tweet says it all for our listeners who aren't watching this, he has tweeted, capital I, full stop, next line, capital A-M-M, full stop, capital D-O-N-E, done. Jesus. I am done. So if Beaver's done...
You have real problems with...
And it's grammar. I've worked out it's grammar. It's the grammar throws him off.
If Beaver's done, the Saints are done.
He was my mentor.
Punctuation really.
You read that down. How would you have done that?
I am done. Like that.
Well, I'm trying to explain it.
Full stops after each word.
You don't have to read each there. What? You just don't understand grammar.
I full stop. Capital A M. Full stop.
Really? Richard?
Come on, mate. You're better than that. Yeah, you're actually quite intelligent.
Beaver's done.
Beaver's done. He was my mentor when I was a budding journo. I used to read my work and stuff. And,
did he? Yeah. Good man, Beaver.
Hey, let's jump straight into the previews. I just got to say this. These bye weeks suck.
It's dragging the season out.
It's just crap. I'm over it. I'm over the AFL. I'm watching NRL. Geelong versus Western Bulldogs, $1.64. The Catters as they roar into premiership favouritism. Nearly the Bulldogs, $2.26. Who wins this one?
Are there going to be fans there? Do we know yet?
No.
No, definitely no.
No fans. Right. Despite there being no COVID, there's still no fans.
That's disappointing because Geelong haven't had a COVID case for a long, long time.
They get a fair bit out of the fans being there.
Yeah, they do.
As well.
So that does make it a little bit different. I think at Geelong, as I just said, I think Geelong are premiership favourites as we speak. So I think they'll get the job done just. Jack McRae, this is the one team he doesn't cash in on. I think he's only had 30 once in these last five against them.
So this is a big test. Everybody thinks that the Bulldogs' Achilles heel is their defensive end because they're young and they're undersized. So you come up against Cameron, Tommy Hawkins and obviously Gary Rowan, who I think's the best... I guess, result of Jeremy Cameron coming to that football club. Yeah. It's going to be hard for the Dogs. So on that basis, I'm going to go the Cats.
GWS versus Carlton. Now, I'm going to just make a sweeping statement here. If Leon Cameron coached the Victorian side, he would have been sacked.
No, could not disagree with you any more than what you just said there.
Why?
Because he won a final 4 years in a row. Yeah, he missed finals last year. I think he's got a bit more.
He's had the best list
in
the AFL for years and hasn't accomplished nothing.
He's had so many injuries this year. His back line is completely decimated.
Why does no one talk about the fact that he's he might not be a good coach or might not be up to it.
He won a final 4 years in a row and he's got an injury depleted list, and I think they'll win this
If I was a member of the GWS, I'd be calling for his head.
The way he coached that side to get them to the grand final a couple of years ago was unbelievable.
Yeah, so but it's fine. You can be a good coach 1 year, and after a few years of doing nothing, at some stage the question needs to be asked.
He did coach them to a grand final.
$1.64, the Giants, Carlton $2.26.
I think the Giants win this game.
Really?
Yeah, it's a toss of the coin. Giants for me.
I thought they were awful on the weekend. And then Hawthorn versus Essendon. Could we have
This is down in Tassie.
The Hawks won this game earlier on in the year. Your man Tim O'Brien took the winner. Snap
which is
around.
Surprising.
I thought he competed really well on the weekend.
He was starting, thankfully, after 9 years in the system. He's starting to get a bit of return out of Tim.
I think the Bombers win. The Bombers win this game.
I think Essendon win. They're exciting. I'm enjoying watching them.
Hypotheticals to finish.
This would be good.
I hope you put some thought into this one.
All right, I've put some thought into one of these.
For only one?
Then two others off Reddit.
So you did them on the train on the way in, did you?
No, I didn't during the week. Okay, and this pertains to what might happen tonight.
That is a Tommy Hilfiger shirt.
I know it is.
Yeah.
I got to lie about the shirt
I just noticed the logo on it.
Okay, you're up by 11 points.
Thanks for joining us, Matt.
You're up by 11
points.
You
didn't believe in the first time?
Randy.
I didn't think they made flannelette shirts.
They do. So do Ralph Lauren. I've got a Ralph Lauren one as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit baggy,
strange,
though.
Strange. It's not really.
Ralph Lauren.
Flannel.
By the way.
Yeah.
Ralph Lauren.
Yeah,
it's not exactly. Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. What did I say?
Ralph Lauren.
You're trying to be a man of the people.
I am a flanny,
but it's a Ralph Lauren flanny.
Oh, I got a
Ralph Lauren.
There's still a bit of private school I haven't beaten out of myself yet.
Private school in you,
mate. You're up by 11 points with 5 minutes to go in a prelim final.
Yep.
You just need to do anything to hang on, and you're both getting a chance to a ticket tech parade. Of course, you never got to the big dance.
Ticket tape or ticket tech parade?
Is it ticket tape? I thought it was Ticket Tech and they sponsored it.
$25 to $28 grand a year his parents spent.
Is it really Ticket Tape? I just assumed Ticket Tech sponsored it.
Parade.
This is the most uneducated human being I've ever heard go to a private school. Most people who went to private school come out and they are intelligent. This guy got dumber.
I've
got Ticket Tech written there.
He thought it was sponsored by Ticket Tech.
Well, there you go. I've learned something today. All right. So this is your chance to go to the big dance. But it's today's rules, assuming that Mackay has been rubbed out tonight. Any accidental contact would mean that you'd miss the big dance. You've waited your whole life for this moment. Richo, you're leading up to half forward. Brownie grubbers a kick in front of you. It's bouncing towards you. But Hunter Clark is in pursuit coming the other way. You can attack the footy with vigour, knowing a collision will occur, or you can let Hunter get the ball, hit up a straight running kicker. They get a forward entry, kick the goal, and just like that, they're within a kick with 4 minutes 30 remaining. What do you do?
Well, I try and win the football.
So you would go, it wouldn't change, you would go as hard as you can?
But I must admit, if Mackay gets rubbed out tonight, I'd be starting to wonder what I do.
And if you wonder
if you're starting to wonder what you can do on the ground. So they're going to have to change the rules if he gets rubbed out
tonight. He's got to go the football, hum.
You'd go regardless, even though you know there's definitely going to be a collision, and if he gets injured, you're missing the grand final.
Yeah, even though Mackay's a little man, I don't think I'd be able to knock him out or break his jaw anyway, so I'd go in.
I don't reckon he'd go in anyway.
You know what? He's very good at disguising whether he went.
Yeah, correct. So that was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, good one.
If I was to jump off a cliff and land on a shark, would I die or the shark?
Well, how high is the cliff?
Say it's like just over. If you hit the water, you probably would die.
Okay, so is the shark mouth open or are you landing on the back?
You're landing
on
the back of the shark.
I think from that height, the shark would be in all sorts of trouble.
But you might survive?
But you'd die as well, I think. You're hitting a hard surface.
It's like hitting concrete.
Sharks are hard, mate. You're probably breaking your legs and your hips, and you can't swim anyway. So you're in the water, and
they're soft as well. It's like there's
I think the shark gets severely injured. Yeah. And you survive.
You're in trouble.
See,
I think you survive. The shark's in trouble.
Yeah, and an injured shark
getting out of the water. Hey? You're clearly breaking your legs and your hips and...
No, he said it's from the height where you can you just survive.
Yeah, you just survive the water height.
So it's like about a 12 or 13 metres.
Say it's a 12-metre drop.
Yeah. So you're happy to kill a shark just for your kicks, have you?
Well, do you know you're landing on the shark or is it an accidental collision?
He just asked you if you're landing on a shark, mate.
It's an accidental collision. A shark happens to be swimming just below the water or at the water level.
I think the shark saves you, but unfortunately it does.
The shark dies. Yep. Or it's injured, but an injured shark is a dead shark. Yeah. They don't go well with injuries. All right, for $10 million, okay, I'm going to give you the offer that you can be placed on any random spot on the Earth's surface, literally anywhere, and if you make it alive, you keep the money. So the rules that apply, it can't be an island. It doesn't include large islands or islands that are countries. It can't be in the water or the sky. But aside from this, you could end up anywhere. Now, it's just with the clothes on your back. You could end up in Antarctica and you're probably dead. You could end up in the Sahara Desert, you're probably dead.
You could end up in Hawaii.
You could end up in Surrey Hills.
Right.
Would you take it for the $10 million?
No. I don't want to die and I'm not taking the chance of landing on the South Pole.
But imagine if you landed in New York.
Yeah, you'd be
so it's
happy.
Just a random generator?
Complete random generator where you end up.
I'll give it a go.
Would you?
Yeah.
Jeez, imagine if you landed at the South Pole.
It'd be disappointing.
Yeah, imagine that straight away.
So could you land, did you say you can't land in water?
So you'd risk leaving.
Can't land in water. It's got to be on land.
You'd risk leaving your family behind for $10 million.
Well, it's a lot of money.
I'd bump up my life insurance first.
Yeah, you can do that.
Risk it for them. They don't want the money, mate. They want you.
Yeah, it's a good point, Matt.
Yeah, think about it.
I'd do it.
Of course you'd do it.
All right, that's going to do us for this week. Good luck. Well done, Victoria, on getting out of lockdown. Good luck on the punt this weekend. But most importantly, please gamble responsibly.